Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Shannon Drotning. Shannon is the Consumer and Specialty Market President for Providence Health Plan and also chairperson of the American Heart Association's Heart and Stroke Walks in Portland and Vancouver. And also with us is Dr. Abby Kahn, OHSU cardiologist and a volunteer board member with the American Heart Association. Welcome to Let's Talk Portland, ladies.
Thank you.
Shannon, let's get started with you. Tell me about your association with the American Heart Association.
Yeah, my association has been quite a number of years, most of my career. My father has survived 3 heart attacks, so very like to be involved in this organization. Wow. Yeah, and so that's my personal connection. I also have a connection. I work at Providence Health Plan. We've had a long history with the American Heart Association as well, and really want to improve the lives of people just by creating awareness about heart disease and stroke and really rallying everyone together to really support this amazing cause.
Yeah. And you're the chairperson for the walk.
I am. I am this year's chairperson for the Heart and Stroke Walk. The Vancouver walk is on May 17th and the Portland walk is on June 7th.
Big walks. How long are they?
Yeah. Well, gosh, I think there's options. You can do a 1 mile, a 3 mile, right? So accessible for everyone that wants to come, bring their pets, do everything that you want to do, bring your family. And it's just a really fun event.
And part of the reason for the walks is to make people aware of how to take care of people in cardiac arrest.
Yeah, absolutely. This year, the theme of the Heart and Stroke Rock is really to create a nation of lifesavers. And what that means is if you see someone on the street, are you going to act, right? Or people tend to be afraid to act as well. So it's really to increase awareness about CPR. Do you know how to give hands-on CPR? And now it's hands-only CPR. You can just use your hands. It's really easy. As a bystander, are you prepared? Because is someone calling 911? And another really great thing about the walk is all the money that we raise goes into the research, goes into funding to really create that nation of lifesavers.
CPR can be intimidating.
Very.
How do you get people to get over that intimidation?
I think by training. And showing people. There's a great 2-minute video on the Heart Association's website that really shows you how to do that training. And you can really do it to a song, you know, that song, Staying Alive, right? So it's really showing people how fast to do it and that it's easy. And I think you just have to show people and train them.
Yeah. And one of the goals is to get people ready in the workforce. So you want to have people trained, have your employees trained to know what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's been really great. I've been working with a lot of the CEOs across Portland and the area of Vancouver. Really, we have an advisory council to help with this year's Heart and Stroke Walk. And really to get the employees engaged is important. One, we all come together at the Heart Walk. And, you know, in these days post-COVID, not a lot of us are coming together as companies and being in person. That's a great way just to get your firm involved. And we raise money for that vital research for heart and stroke disease. And also just it's engagement of employees, right? The companies can really work on that and really helping the employees respond, being able to respond in emergencies. And it's easy to get the companies involved as well. You can go to pdxheartwalk.org and sign your team up. And, you know, I really think that leaders see a benefit, not only, as I said, by getting people involved, getting them engaged. And community involvement is the last thing. Really having these companies be involved in the Heart and Stroke Walk can really make a difference in saving lives and creating a nation of lifesavers.
Yeah, it's really crucial to have that training in the workplace.
It is.
Why is that so crucial?
Well, let's get down to the numbers. Approximately 10,000 cardiac arrests occur in the workplace in the United States each year. I mean, that number is just astounding. And we talked about this earlier about the worry. One in three people worry they will perform CPR incorrectly, that they just don't know how to do it. And then one in five are really hesitant, right? There's that fear of hurting the person because you do have to perform CPR. It takes a lot of strength and someone's afraid that they might hurt that person. So this really, you know, if employers would get everybody involved, then their employees look to their employers, hey, I work for a great place. We're involved in preventing heart and stroke disease, and we can really, as leaders, make our teams feel like they're committed and they're part of this cause.
You had a big statistic about people who have heart attacks at work. Is that because they're at work? Probably not, right?
Yeah. Stress is sometimes can be a factor.
Yeah, I would say as a cardiologist, stress can be a factor and activity can be a factor too, which doesn't mean that exercise is bad. But for folks who really do heavy work at work, it's important to know your heart is in good shape and that and that you're safe. And I think the last factor is we spend so much time at work, right?
So that's a good point.
It's true. Yeah,
it's
you're there.
Just a lot of where we are.
Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me introduce you once again. You're Dr. Abby Kahn, an OHSU cardiologist.
Yes.
So we talked. You just said something about exercise. How important is exercise in cardio health?
So exercise is huge. And, you know, honestly, I like to call it physical activity because I think in our culture, we have this idea that exercise is something that you have to go to the gym, you have to go to a class, you have to do something special or really hard, right? But we know that physical activity, especially walking, because it's really accessible, is great for your heart. So it lowers your blood pressure. It lowers your cholesterol. It helps the body regulate your blood sugar, which is a big part of development of diabetes and those adverse changes. We also know it's really good for your mood. And we know that your mood and your psyche can impact your cardiovascular health as well. So I would say that physical activity is one of the key tools that we as individuals and as society have to improve our well-being and our health.
How far do you need to walk every day?
Yeah.
Everybody needs to get their 10,000 steps in?
So it's interesting. So 10,000 has been around for a long time, and that's somewhat of an arbitrary number, right? We like to say 30 minutes of physical activity at least 5 days a week. And truthfully, based on the data, that can be divided up into sections, right? If you don't have those 30 minutes, but you can do 10 here, 10 there, that counts as well. Honestly, some of the newer studies that I'm aware of, it seems like the cutoff is really more like 8,000 steps a day. But even above 4,000 steps a day, you start to get benefit. So it's really incremental and everything you do counts, right?
Yeah. And you can't get too many steps in, right?
No, you can't get too many steps in. I don't think that's possible. I mean, of course, you know, you have to think about other aspects of your health. Are you tired? Do you have orthopedic problems? But yeah, really, the more the better.
And is this a stroll walking, or do you need to walk at a pretty good clip? Or
to get the best cardiovascular benefit, it really should be a moderate pace. And the way I describe that is you feel like you're getting a little bit of a workout, but you could still have a conversation with a person next to you. But maybe it's not a totally easy conversation, right? So you can feel yourself breathing a little bit heavily. So ideally, it's going to be moderate exercise, but truthfully, even a little stroll is better than no stroll. It's better than just sitting on the couch or sitting in our chair all day at work.
How do you get people to go out for a walk when it's raining? That's my biggest thing.
We're from Oregon, so we have to get used to the rain. I mean, truthfully, it can be hard, right? But I find one of the biggest motivators for folks, including myself, is if you have someone to walk with, whether that's a friend, a family member, a colleague, your dog, right? We know that pets have huge health benefits. So I think it's about finding that thing that'll get you outside. And if you can't find that, maybe it's going to the mall, or maybe it's the little things. Like if you go to the supermarket, you park a little farther away to get a couple more steps in. That can work as well.
And as somebody told me once, we're not made of sugar. We're not going to melt, right?
No, we will not melt in the rain.
Can you explain the connection between exercise and the prevention of sudden cardiac arrest?
Yeah, absolutely. So exercise helps strengthen the heart. It helps protect the heart. And that can help the heart not develop serious abnormal rhythms or things that can lead to sudden death. So we know that exercise can prevent heart attacks, but it can also prevent sudden death, prevent the need for CPR in the future. And truthfully, we don't medically understand all the mechanisms because exercise is such an amazing thing, but we know that it works.
And how does participating in events like the Heart Walk benefit individuals and the community?
Yeah. So number one, it helps us raise money for the American Heart Association. The American Heart Association is an incredible leader in research that helps us develop new treatments, which are essential. It helps educate about prevention or, you know, the efforts we were talking about with CPR. And it also advocates for policies and for things that really help our health. So that's number one. Number two, it is so powerful to come together with this community. Many people are survivors. They are people who care about survivors of heart disease, and to really just feel everyone together. And third, we know that exercise combined with human connection is incredibly powerful for our health. And I would say the time in my life I feel that the most is at the Heart Walk.
Yeah. Camaraderie. It's really important.
Camaraderie. And we know that is really, really important for maintaining our health.
If somebody's just starting an exercise program, what advice do you have for them?
Yeah. I always say start small, right? Think about what seems achievable. So maybe it's I'm going to walk for 10 minutes 5 days this week. And then maybe next week you're going to do 11 minutes or 12 minutes. Or maybe you'll add another 5 minute walk. Just break it off. Make it attainable. Don't worry about your heart rate or how fast you're walking or competing with other folks. Just start to make it part of the routine. And over time, you can build upon that.
Yeah, that's really good advice.
Yeah. I think that sometimes I have to remind myself of that too, right? Because we get in a rut and then climbing out of that rut to do a 1 hour long workout feels really hard. But maybe climbing out of the rut to do a 10 minute walk around the block, that's attainable.
Small bites.
Yeah.
Shannon, give me the details again on the walks that are coming
up. Yeah, absolutely. So May 17th in Vancouver, Washington, and June 7th in Portland, Oregon. And if any companies are interested, they can go to pdxheartwalk.org and create a company team, encourage everyone to walk, to learn CPR, and we can all come out and have a great day together.
Cool. How about individuals? You don't have to be with a team, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. That's such a great point. Yeah. If you just want to come out and walk, bring your dog, bring your son, your daughter, your family members, then just go to that same website and sign up and join us.
Cool. It's going to be a great couple of days coming up very soon.
Very soon.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, thank you both.
Hope for sun.
Yeah, please. Thank you both for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let's Talk Portland. More coming up in...
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a moment.
You're listening to Let's Talk Portland, and we're talking today with the American Heart Association. May is American Stroke Month, and here to talk about this is Dr. Amit Kansara, Providence neurologist and American Heart Association volunteer board member, and Matthew Campy, Brain Rehab Network president and also American Heart Association volunteer. Hey guys, welcome to Let's Talk Portland. Dr. Kansara, let's start with you. What is a stroke?
Stroke is a medical emergency where blood supply to the brain suddenly stops, which leads to lack of oxygen, and brain cells can die within minutes without blood supply. So there are two kinds of stroke. One stroke, what we call ischemic stroke, where clot can block the artery to the brain, which leads to the stroke. And the second kind of a stroke is hemorrhagic stroke, where blood vessel can burst in the brain and you can have hemorrhage in the brain. So more common type of stroke is ischemic stroke. So 85% strokes, they are ischemic strokes, and almost 15% strokes are hemorrhagic strokes.
What is the main cause of a stroke?
Main cause is clot formation in the brain. So there are risk factors for stroke like diabetes, hypertension, obesity, smoking. So all those risk factors can lead to a small clot in the small blood vessels in the brain. Sometimes heart issues can also give you stroke. If you have irregular heartbeat, what we call atrial fibrillation, or severe heart failure, you can form small clots in the heart, which can travel to the brain and cause strokes. It can also happen in young patients. Sometimes a rare cause is like arterial dissection or rupture in the blood vessels due to some kind of violent jerking to the neck. It can also lead to clot formation and can cause strokes. So those are the common causes for ischemic stroke. And then hemorrhagic stroke or bleeding in the brain stroke, it can happen due to burst in the blood vessels if your blood pressure is very high. That's the most common cause and the most common modifiable risk factors. The second kind of stroke where you have aneurysm or ballooning of the blood vessels in the brain, it can also rupture and can cause bleeding in the brain. So that's another cause for hemorrhagic stroke.
Are there warning signs of a stroke?
Yes. The warning sign for stroke can be remembered by a very easy acronym, and American Heart Association, they promote that. It's called FAST, where F stands for face. If you have sudden droopiness on your face, or if things are kind of drooling down from the one side of the face, so your face is droopy. A is for arm. If you have sudden weakness in your one side, or if you are not able to even unbutton the shirt or not able to open the jar, you can have weakness in your arms, and if arm is droopy, then A stands for arm. S is for speech, where if you're slurring your words or if you're not able to find the words. And T is for time, where if you recognize any of these symptoms, call 911 right away.
Does it happen to one side or the other of the body more prevalently?
Usually you see stroke signs, they are more unilaterals. When it happens, it's on one side of the body. There are certain kind of stroke where you would have just imbalance, or you would have sudden loss of vision on the one side of the body where you would not find typical signs of stroke. So your balance can be off or your eyesight can be gone on one side. So those are the strokes you would not find unilaterality, but you would find some uncommon or unusual symptoms, and that's also very important to recognize.
Okay. It says here in the information that I received, it says 80% of strokes may be preventable.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so there are modifiable risk factors. The most common are, as I described, hypertension, diabetes, smoking, obesity. All those things are modifiable risk factors. So physical exercise, heart-healthy diet, smoking cessation, those are the important things that one can do to decrease the chance of stroke.
Do genetics have anything to do with the stroke?
Yes, there are certain genetics factors. If you have clotting tendency, there are certain kind of clotting risk factors that can run in the family, or there are certain kind of autoimmune disease where you would have that, like lupus. There is a possibility of young stroke or clotting in the body. Then you would see there's young stroke, and genetic play a role in those things.
Is the person having the stroke, are they aware of this, of the warning signs?
Generally, they are aware when warning signs are so obvious, like what I described earlier, fast warning signs, then they are aware. It is very important that bystanders or any person, they should know this warning signs so they can recognize stroke signs on another person and can call for the help. Some of the strokes, they sometimes don't realize, people don't realize that they are having a stroke if they have just like sudden imbalance and they are not able to walk straight, or they have a dizziness, or they are falling on one side. They don't have typical telltale sign of strokes. And sometimes those are the patients, sometimes they come to the ER late. The important thing about stroke is if you have this kind of symptoms, it's very important to recognize early and come to the ER early by calling 911, because in first few hours, there are stroke treatments that we can provide and decrease the disability and decrease the damage by giving thrombolytic treatment or doing some kind of procedure to remove the clot. But if you come late, then sometimes early damage can happen. So every minute counts, and every minute, I think brain can lose 2 million brain cells without blood supply.
Wow. Mm. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I was just thinking it might be really scary to have a stroke when you're alone. Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Hopefully you're near a phone and you can dial 911.
You can dial 911. There are medical emergency alerts that you can keep close by. So there are avenues you can explore.
Let me introduce again Matthew Kempfe, Brain Rehab Network President and American Heart Association volunteer. What's the Brain Rehab Network?
We specialize in providing comprehensive outpatient programs for survivors of stroke. So hospitals do a phenomenal job of saving your life, and we help you put it back together again after a stroke or traumatic brain injury.
And again, looking at the information I've received, it looks like there's some gender inequities with stroke. Women are more, it's more prevalent with women?
Yes, it is. That's a great question. The American Heart Association, you know, and all the research recognizes that stroke is a number three cause of death in women, and it kills more women than men in the United States. Women face many unique challenges that kind of increase their risk for having a stroke, such as giving birth to children. If you have high blood pressure and or a premature birth, that can cause undue stress on the body and, you know, increase your risk. Early onset menopause, endometriosis. It's crucial that women understand their unique risk factors that increase the likelihood of stroke. Stroke is a number five cause of death overall. And men are at high risk for stroke, but women are at higher risk of stroke. And as Dr. Kansara just mentioned, their risk factors associated for men and women are different, but there's some similarities too. And the unique symptoms a woman experiences as a part of having a stroke are going to present a little bit different for women than they do men. So it's important to know the FAST acronym, and it's also important to be aware of the balance in the I component as well, because that's going to present a little bit different for men and for women.
Okay. Talk to me about some of the specific challenges Black women face regarding stroke risk.
Yes. So Black women have high prevalence of blood pressure, and that is a direct correlation to increase in stroke. The root causes for the health disparities are not fully understood, and we really need to do more. And I think that's some of the great work that the AHA is pressing into, is to better understand what some of those health disparities are. Unequal access to healthcare and other societal kind of disadvantages certainly impact the health risks that Black women have. And so we need to address these challenges in a comprehensive way. There need to be social support networks, and the AHA is really trying to get out the right education in the right locations to help reduce stroke in at-risk communities that Black women are statistically more at risk for.
Okay. And talk about the Hispanic community. What kind of risk factors do they have?
Well, the Hispanic community also still at high risk. When you're talking about health disparities, you know, as Dr. Kansara just mentioned, you know, diabetes, obesity, and high cholesterol. Those are statistically higher within the Hispanic community. So high obesity rates, roughly 50% of Hispanic Americans are categorized as obese. And so given the fact that that's a unique health disparity and a high risk factor, we need to, you know, get more education around diabetes prevention and awareness so that reduces likelihood of stroke and cardiovascular diseases that contribute to higher death rates and higher stroke rates.
When you're talking diabetes, are you talking type 2 diabetes, type 1 diabetes, both?
It's my understanding type 2. I think type 1 has other risk factors associated with it, but statistically, these are lifestyle choices or lifestyle factors that can be influenced, and that's generally type 2.
Let's talk again about some of the warning signs and things that people should be looking out for.
So the FAST acronym, face, arm, speech, and time is of the essence when responding to a stroke. So when you see a little bit of face droop, when you hear a little bit of slurred speech, when you see somebody's arm maybe not working in a way that seems normal for them, you know, they can't open a jar or a can, or they're having difficulty with buttons and fine motor skills that they normally don't have those challenges with, you know, you need to act quickly, and that's time. Another two noticeable changes could potentially be in somebody's balance and eye movement. You know, if they're not seeing well, and their balance is off, their gait is different than what you know it to be, you really need to act quickly.
And finally, let's talk about the American Heart Association walks that are coming up. Can you guys fill me in on those?
Yes. It's a great way to build community.
Yeah.
I would say the American Heart Association Heart Walks. We have May 17th in Vancouver, Washington. It's going to be at Esther Short Park. It's a phenomenal time, a great walk on the waterfront. And then June 7th in Portland is the Portland Heart Walk, and that's going to be hosted at the University of Portland this year. But it's a great way to spend time with thousands of people who are either survivors of heart disease and stroke, and then also people who are just committed to the cause. Everyone has been impacted by stroke. Everybody knows somebody who's been impacted by heart disease. Again, it's the number one cause of death. These are great ways to be connected to a great community, get important information. One of the campaigns for the American Heart Association is to create a nation of lifesavers. Mm-hmm. You know, and now is a great time to be connected with other lifesavers who are trying to make a positive difference.
Does it cost anything to take part in the walk?
It doesn't. It's a great fundraising opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm chairing the Executive with Hearts program. So, you know, anybody who's an executive and you're interested in championing or putting together a team, it's fun, it's competitive, and it raises a lot of money for a great cause. But no, it doesn't cost anything. You can sign up for a team. You can be a coach. So sign up to join a team, sign up to sponsor a team, sign up to just contribute and come out and walk with your time.
Excellent. What's the best place to get more information?
PDXHeartWalk.org is the best place to get information.
Excellent. American Heart Association does amazing work.
Yes, they do.
Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking today with Dr. Emmett Kansara, Providence neurologist and American Heart Association volunteer board member, and Matthew Kamphy, Brain Rehab Network president and American Heart Association volunteer. If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.